Today, ladies and gentlemen, today is the practical application of what we learned last week. Are you with me? Practical application of what we learned last week. We needed the scriptural basis or the scriptural foundation for what we're going to learn today. Because if there's no scriptural foundation for what you're learning as a Christian, then you recognize and you acknowledge it's man's wisdom and not God's wisdom. You need the scriptural foundations for everything that you learn. Otherwise, if it's man's wisdom, recognize you will be conformed into the world standards. Man's wisdom leads you to be conformed into the world standards. God's wisdom will lead you to be conformed into God's image, which will lead you then to be transformed out of the world. And that's what you want. Follow what I'm saying? So as you, in your Christian walk, learn things, be sure there's scriptural principles behind it. Because you want to be transformed out of this world and conformed into the image of Christ. So let's go before the Lord and pray for my voice to hold up. And let's ask Him to be here and have Him be our teacher. Let's go before the Lord now. Father, we just thank You for Your wisdom, for what You've given us in Your Word, Father. All the details and all the things that we need to know for each individual life is in the Word, Father. We would just ask You today to help us and give us further understanding in the practical application of this message, Father, so that we can put it down into our feet, so we can use it, so we can walk in it. So it's not just another study, nice study that I learned some things for 8 weeks, but I go back to my own way of thinking and my own way of walking. I don't want that, Jesus. And I would ask that You'd sit as the hand of heaven on each of my sister's shoulders, and that You would just pursue them to learn, to renew their mind, Father, so that their lives could be transformed. So that, God, what others see in us would be Jesus and not self. We desire to have that above everything else, Lord. So make this, You take this message today and zero it in to the hearts of Your Father so that it could become life in their lives. And I just pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's put everything that we have learned so far over these past 8 weeks, let's put it into practical use. As my husband always says, if I read it in the Word, I want to understand how it can go into my feet, into my walk. I love prophecy, and prophecy is exciting, but somehow it doesn't help my walk any. So I need to know how I can put these things into practical application. How do we renew our minds daily? What are the steps? Let's look first at chart 25, which you got in your outline today. Say that we have already made a wrong choice. Right at this point, at the choice point here, we've made an emotional choice, right here. Okay, we've quenched God's life. Right at this point, this little squiggly line, we've quenched God's life, the gold of God's life, we've quenched it in our heart. Okay, our self-life has taken over. My thoughts, my emotions, my desires are taken off. They're running wild down here. I've become double-minded, which means I've got God's life quenched in my heart, and I'm living on my own life out here, double-minded. My emotions are running wild. My thoughts are uncontrolled because they're being fed things from my hidden chambers that I've never dealt with. Okay, but it's just causing stirring the whole pot up. Say, though, we recognize what's happened, and we want to turn around. What do we do at this point? Okay? The following 7 steps are going to be 7 steps back to freedom. And I call this my survival kit. And I really mean it, my survival daily. Because I literally go through these steps sometimes, at least once a day, sometimes 2 or 3. Thank you so much. I don't know if it'll help, but thank you. A cup of cold water in Jesus' name. That's wonderful. I call it my survival kit because I go through these steps at least once a day, sometimes 2 and 3 times a day, if I'm dealing with a painful remark a hurt, jealousy, lust, whatever. Going through these steps, every time I encounter a painful situation, pride, fear, whatever God allows into my life, that's what keeps me whole, that's what keeps me clean, that's what keeps me free to encounter the next one. Don't let them accumulate, you know, because if they accumulate, you're going to be bombarded for the next one. You won't be able to handle the next one God allows into your life. Okay, so on your outline, these steps, you have all these seven steps with the scriptural references beside them. But what I would suggest we use today is this new little single handout that I gave you, which is called How Do We Renew Our Minds Daily. Let's just use that one because this was written 2 days ago, whereas those outlines were written 3 years ago. So Nancy's learning some more, and this is simplified, and I think you'll be able to follow along a little bit easier with the simplified version. You got the scriptures, you go back to the outlines, you've got all the scriptures to back it up. Now the first three steps that we will cover, number 1, 2, and 3, are formalities. And you don't need to do each one of these each time something happens. Okay? Perhaps you might want to do these first thing each morning. That's what I do. I literally go through and do these first things each morning. And I want to go over them. I want to cover them. I want to talk about each one because it's an attitude that we need to have daily. It's an attitude that we need to have daily. So let's begin with number 1 and let's talk about what it means to choose to present your body as a living sacrifice. I do this each morning. I speak it out to the Lord. Okay? I don't necessarily feel this. And quite often, I feel just the opposite of this. But I make that contrary choice to give my body as a living sacrifice to God. And I speak it out knowing if I'm willing to do that, God will take it and perform it in my life. What I'm doing is I'm just giving God permission to walk through me and expose anything that day that he wants to get out. He wants to cleanse. It's just giving him permission, anything he wants to deal with. God is a gentleman, and he won't violate your free will. You have to ask him and give him permission to walk through you. Lord, come into me today and show me anything in me today that you want to deal with to cleanse this temple more. A good prayer is Psalm 19, verse 12-13. And it says, cleanse thou me from hidden or secret faults. Don't let them have dominion over me. And another one that I pray is Psalm 139, verse 23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Last one was Psalm 139, verse 23-24. Those are good prayers to pray. Now remember, as you're opening yourself up to God, remember how much he loves you. Remember he won't allow anything in your life that's not father-filtered. He won't allow anything in your life that's not father-filtered. So you can trust him totally. Whatever he allows in your life, you can trust him. He's going to use it for his perfect plan in your life. I think of Job so often. It's the first page. I wonder if I can make 12 of them. Lord, you don't allow anything in our lives, and it's not for your perfect plan. Huh, better. Okay. I think of Job so often. You know, Job says in Job 13, verse 15, he says, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Do you remember that verse? Anytime something comes into my life that I don't quite understand, I think of him so often. How can he say that? Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. How can he say that? He can say that because he knew God loved him. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loved him. Okay? And so he could say that. Now, if you have trouble, really believing that God loves you. And a lot of people I know do have trouble. Then in the back of the outline today, I have a list of scriptures called Knowing God Loves You. And they're just personal scriptures that God gave me when I first began this walk. And I wrote them out on 3x5 cards. And every time I doubted, you know, experientially that He loved me, I'd pick up one of those scriptures and I'd read that scripture and I'd say, God, I choose to believe by faith what You say here. So if you have trouble knowing experientially that God loves you, then I would recommend you do that. Also get tape number 3 of the Way of Agape. Because tape number 3 in the Way of Agape deals, the whole tape is on how do we know experientially, not in our head, but experientially, that God loves it. I'm back here for a moment. By the way, my throat does not hurt. It just sounds like it hurts. Don't worry about it. It just it doesn't really hurt. It just sounds weird. That's my pointer. Okay, back on chart 25. We're going to talk about God's love here. One moment. Okay. Oh, thank you. I said I wouldn't be able to talk. I'm not sure. If I get desperate, I'll do that. Notice, and don't miss this. Here's God's life in our hearts, and we're closer in our hearts. So at the moment that we've made emotional choices, we are not only not going to have love for others out here, we are not going to experience God's love for ourselves experientially in our souls. Do you understand? So if we've made emotional choices and not faith choices, we're not only not going to experience God's love flowing through us to others, we're not going to know experientially that He loves us. Do you see what I'm saying? Personally. And we're blocking His love off not only for ourselves, but also for others. So that's really important. If that's a stumbling block for you, get that tape number 3 in the Way of Agape, because that's the foundation of the rest of these steps. Then let's go to number 2. And this is an attitude that we need to have kind of on the inside. We need to be willing to take every thought captive and choose to set aside and put off any self-centered thoughts, negative emotions, or desires. We just need to be willing daily. When one comes in, recognize it, and shoot it up to the Lord. Just an attitude we need to have. And our scripture basis for that is 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 through 6. And it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now listen to what the rest of that scripture says. Maybe you've never seen it before. And have a readiness to revenge our disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What you are learning now is that readiness to revenge our disobedience. Bang, 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 bang. You're going to be able to know practically how to have that readiness to revenge our disobedience. Now, you look and you take every thought captive. Be ready to automatically, and this is hard, automatically deny or set aside, give over any justified hurt. Okay? Justified by world standards. Be willing to deny your own rights, but your own frustrations, justified offenses. Might be justified by world standards, but by God's standards, it blocks the Lord from flowing through you. You need to want anything that will block your spirit. Just be willing to lay yourself totally down and let God go and fight your battles for you. Let me tell you, He does a much better job. Now, if you have difficulty doing this, and perhaps you will, many times you will, because it hurts to lay down, especially your justified things, I want you to read each time you do this step. Read Philippians 3:8-15. And this is where Paul says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He doesn't say I count some things lost. He says I count all things lost all my justified hurt, everything that happens to me, I set aside for the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Ask yourself at that point, when you're going through step number two here, am I really now concerned with doing God's will in my life or my own happiness? Which am I now concerned about, doing God's will in my life or my own happiness? Most of the time, it's my own happiness. Ask God to reveal you your motives. And it will blow you away, because most of the time, it's what's going to make you happy. Luke 14:26 reminds us that we cannot be his disciples unless we are willing. It doesn't say wanting to, it says willing to. And that's totally different than wanting to. Willing to lay everything down at his feet. Father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, he says, your very own lives. Willing to lay your lives down. You don't have to feel willing, you have to be willing. Oftentimes I'll say to the Lord, I can't do this on my own, but Lord, I'm willing to allow you to make me willing. And he does. He does. Because we don't have to feel it. He's in charge of the feelings. Remember that. He will bring the feelings back. He will change the feelings. You're not responsible for the feelings. I went to lunch not too long ago with several of my older friends, meaning long-time friends. I see that. To be careful, was the time to grow older for me. You have to be careful. And we were talking about this very same thing. And one of the guests said, well, Nancy, don't you think that some people just don't have the ability or the capability to lay everything down at Jesus' feet? And then they went on, because there's some dysfunctional families, because there's some this and this and this and this. And I said, no, I don't believe that. I believe if they're Christians and God is in them, then God is the one that makes them capable and gives them the ability. They're just not willing. That's the key. And these people are not willing, and their excuses are dysfunctional families. My husband is not trying. It's not fair. But to me, these things don't matter, because we all have those kinds of things in our life. Okay, if God is in them, God is the one that makes them willing. So I believe all Christians are capable, but not all Christians are willing to lay everything down. Remember, broad is the gate, and narrow is the way. Jesus told us this is true. But you know what's so exciting? When you do choose, and you are willing to begin to lay everything down at Jesus' feet, Luke 18:30 tells us that God will return 100-fold in this life, as well as life eternal. He'll return 100-fold what you choose to lay down at his feet in this life, as well as eternity. And I know in my own life, he's done that 100-fold. That's the first word of agape tape, which is my testimony. And here how God has restored my family, my marriage, my husband. You know, it seems the more I lay down of me, the more of him I get. Now, I'm not any more capable than any of you. I'm just willing. And that all God wants is a willing vessel. He does the rest. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that agapeo, which means totally lay their lives down before the Lord moment by moment. To those that are willing to do that, you can't imagine the things that he has prepared for you. So trust God completely when you lay your life down to him. It then frees him to perform miracles in your life. Let's go on to step number three. This is an attitude that we need to have on the outside. First was the attitude on the inside. This is an attitude we need to have on the outside. Now, choose to obey God's will no matter what he tells you to do. No matter how you feel, no matter what you think, no matter what you want, You get up and you do what God has told you to do. You say to God, I give you this empty body. You're going to have to fill it and do what you called me to do. There's no way I can do it. But if you just make the point to get up and begin to do, you watch the power and the strength that God will give you supernaturally to be able to do the things that he calls you to do. Get up and do what he asks you to do, saying, not my will, God, but thine. How often I say that, not my will, God, not my own desires, God, but what you want. Here is a body. We're emotional creatures, and God is asking us to set aside our emotional responses and choose to act totally out of faith. And he just needs the body to be able to do that through. Don't have to do it again. You just have to be willing. 2 Corinthians 8:11 says, as there's a readiness to will, there must also be a readiness to perform. As you, in the poor positive season, to say, Lord, yay, give my will, do whatever you want, and then when you have to get out and do what he's telling you, that's a lot harder. Okay, so if this is a particularly difficult step for you, I want you to read Philippians 2:5-9. Here again, Paul talks about being obedient unto death. Remember that passage? Whew. Obedient unto death. That's just saying, set self aside. Set self aside and let God do it through you. Let me give you a terrific example of this. It's a true story. Word of God, it's a true story. It only happens in God's kingdom. I have a dear friend. Again, she's probably one of my oldest, long-time friends. And we call her Sarah. Sarah's 5 feet tall and maybe weighs 95 pounds, soaking wet. She found out that her husband was having an affair with someone at the office. And my little friend decided, she was so angry, she marched on down to the office and she literally beat the person up. I would have given anything to see this. You know, this little tiny thing. It was great. But about a year later, God got a hold of my friend Sarah, and God began to turn her life around. And she was one of these men, I tell you, if you're in a heavy situation, you learn to lay everything down awful quick, because it becomes a matter of life and death. I wish we could do that without the heavy situations, because I think maybe then the Lord wouldn't have to allow so many heavy situations in our lives if we just totally lay it down. Anyway, he began to transform her life. And I'll never forget the day she called me up and she said, Nancy, I think the Lord is telling me I need to go back to the office and apologize to that lady. And I went, you're sure that's God? And I said, go back and pray. And she said, what do you think? And I said, well, you know, he's telling me, you go back and just pray that that's the Lord talking to you. She went back and she prayed about it. And by golly, she was sure it was the Lord. My little 5 foot friend marched back down to the office. The lady saw her coming and ran to the back door, and my little friend pursued her back there and said, no, she said, I really want to talk to you today. I really have some things to share with you. Well, this lady was just aghast, you know, and she said, I want to ask your forgiveness for beating you up last year. Well, the lady just couldn't believe what she was hearing, you know, and they sat down and they talked a while, and then the lady at the office said, would you like to go to lunch? And they went to lunch, and my dear sweet Sarah shared Jesus Christ with her. This is a true story. This is the truth. Get up, be willing to get up and do what God tells you to do. She didn't go in there with bitterness and resentment. She dealt with that at home. She went in there for God for those few minutes. And that lady responded and saw God in her and said, what is this? I want to hear more about this. And because of that, God worked a miracle out. Do you love God that much? Do you love God that much that you're willing to get up and do what he calls you to do? So these first three steps, then, presenting our bodies as living sacrifice, taking every thought captive, putting off the old junk, and doing whatever God asks us to do know, the prevailing attitude that we just need to have as Christians. And we need to just have that attitude daily. And if you have to go over these steps first thing in the morning to be sure that this is your attitude for the day, then have this as a part of, you know, your worship time in the morning. Now the next four steps, and the reason that I've separated them here, is because these next four steps are critical to do each time that you recognize you've quenched God's Spirit. During the day, each time you recognize you've made an emotional choice and not a faith choice, you need to go through these four steps. Do you recognize these four steps? This is the inner court ritual that we talked about last week. So I call this my inner court ritual, because last week was the scriptural basis for these steps. So something has just occurred in your life, and you're already feeling hurt. You're already angry. You're already bitter. You're already resentful, whatever. Then you, number four, and number three and number five go together. You can make them one step if you want to, okay, or you can divide them into two steps. So that's why sometimes I say there's three, sometimes I say there's four, okay? So a little bit number four and five go together. You recognize the negative thoughts and emotions that are coming in. Recognize what's going on. You ask God to expose what's going on, not only the conscious junk, but all the unconscious, those hidden chambers. Bring to light what is the truth. This is the labors. You remember how the priests went into the labors and they looked into them because they were made of women's looking glasses? Their own reflection was reflected back at them. This is what you want. You want God to take that flashlight and shine it into your heart and show you the true motivations of your heart at that time. Not only the conscious thoughts, but also the unconscious things in the hidden chambers. This is the time, if you can, try and get along with God. Now, you can go to the ladies' room. When you take time out from work to go to the ladies' room, start doing, this is more important than the physical needs. This is important because this is what you're relating out of all day long. Okay, so if you can get along with the Lord in your car, in the bathroom, I went one time, I was giving a seminar, and I can't remember what happened, something came in. I went in fully dressed into a shower. Some lady came in there and saw me in the shower, and I said, I'm just doing what I preach, because I needed to be alone with the Lord, and that was the only place that I could go at the time, with a small little retreat center, within the shower fully dressed. But I was able to get along with the Lord and go through these steps. I told you that sometimes in the middle of an argument with Chuck, I'll stop and I'll say, honey, I need to go be with the Lord right now. We're running right on down into the pit. We're self to self. And when it's self to self, you're going to end up in the pit. And I'm putting my red flag up saying, I'm stopping. I'm not going to go down in the pit anymore. So at first, I told you he was offended. But now he likes me so much better when I come out from being with Jesus, then I say, go be with him. Because if one of us can stop, one of us can stop the spiral, then we don't need the pit anymore. So get Jesus back in the center of the argument. So I need to be cleansed in order to respond right. You won't respond right. You're human. And you're going to end up just yelling right on down unless you're cleansed. But don't confront, don't take a stand in love unless you're cleansed. Now, this is really important. Read along with God in this time. Be aware of and acknowledge the negative feelings as they're coming up. Acknowledge how you feel. Okay? Call those things for what they are. You know, recognize the fears, recognize the insecurities. You know, be honest, be truthful. This is your time to let self hang out. You're in the prayer closet, it's between you and God. It's not between you and husband. Between you and God. And you just let self hang out. I'm angry, I'm bitter, he always does that. And on and on and on. All the things that are just hanging right there to be said. Speak out what you feel. There is so much freedom in being real before the Lord. You know? It's so neat. God knows that I'm so keen now to see inside. And so I'll tell you, the things that I'm recognizing when I'm dealing with people, the anger and the jealousy that I never would have picked up before. But now I can immediately, in fact, the spirit just shines a light, and I go, whoop, give it over. You know, so I can stay calm, but you'll just be amazed if he starts to shine the light what's really down there. Describe what you're feeling. I'm angry, I'm resentful, I'm fearful. Cry if you have to. Scream if you have to. It's okay. Experience your feelings. Would you write that down? Experience your feelings. Now this is to nobody else but the Lord. You need to experience your feelings. One gal came up to me not too long ago and she said, Nancy, is it really right to let our dirty laundry hang out before the Lord? And I said, honey, she knows you. She knows it's personal. Where are you hiding it from? Who are you hiding it from? You need to acknowledge what he's telling you. Listen to what I found in the Bible from David. This is in Psalms. You don't have to take it down unless you want to look it up. Psalms 55, 12 through 15, and also Psalm 109, 2 through 20. In fact, for the first 20 years of my reading the Bible, I literally crossed this portion of Scripture out because I wouldn't even read what he said. Listen, talk about experience your feelings. Kill them. Let death seize them. Let them go down to hell. Let Satan at him. Let his prayers become sin. This is the way David was talking to the Lord about his enemies. That's experiencing his feelings. To me, maybe I don't think I'd go that far, but that point in honesty. Okay. So don't just say, because I'm a Christian, I only have to feel that way and stuff. I've done that all my life. Don't do that. Don't miss this step. Okay, acknowledge your real feelings. That's the first thing. Acknowledge your feelings. Sometimes I go through these steps, and because of time or because of time pressure or people around, I don't get a chance to acknowledge my feelings. And it's like the peace doesn't come back. There's an unsettledness for the next couple of days. I go through the other steps, but because I wasn't able really to get the fear up or really to cry it up or really to experience my feelings, the peace doesn't come back. So I finally recognize it, go back next day or two, go through it when I have that private time, and then the peace returns. It's like you have to get the gut up before the good stuff can go down in. It really works that way. Now listen to me. Feelings are natural. You can't help feeling something. Negative feelings themselves are not sin. Negative feelings themselves are not sin. It's what you choose to do with them that makes them sin or not. Negative feelings, wild emotions, lust, fear, hate, all that stuff is not sin until you choose to entertain it and mull it over, okay, and then act out of it. That's really important. Let me give you an example. I have another old friend who I've known for 20 years, I guess, who, like so many of us, have walls of emotional hurts, big, thick walls of emotional hurts that she's never learned how to give over to God. Her husband, after 35 years of marriage, Upton left her, which that God just used that to begin to pierce through some of this stuff. My friend has always known that there's been things preventing her from having intimacy with God. We talked about that intimacy. The intimacy comes when the walls begin to come down and you begin to experience his life in place of your own. But she never knew exactly what it was. She got this study about 2 or 3 years ago and she gave God permission to show her real self. After 2 days, she called me up on the phone and she said, Nancy, this is the most impossible study I have ever in my life had. It was absolutely horrible. She said, I've tried to live this message. She said, I am emotional basket case. I am full of bitterness. I am full of anger. I am consumed in jealousy. And of course, the enemy is sitting right there on her shoulder saying, that's what you really are. That's what you really are. Stay there. Get buried. God injured those feelings. And I said, dear friend, I said, did you ask God to show you yourself? She said, well, sure I did. And I said, then praise him. He is. She forgot that negative feelings and emotions in themselves are not sin. Again, she was thinking, you know, it's what we choose to do with them, you see, that makes them sin. She was allowing the negative feelings to push her again into depression and the discouragement, and that, you know, is not a faith. Okay, so I just told her, recognize what he's bringing up, experience what he's bringing up, thank him for bringing them up, praise him for bringing them up, and then get rid of them. If you stuff them, if you go back and get depressed again, what you're doing is you're stuffing them right back down in there again. And you're going to wait on them for a while. Galatians 5, 16 through 18 says, if we walk by the Spirit, we won't carry out the desires of the flesh. Now, it doesn't say here, listen, that we won't have desires of the flesh. We will, because we're human. It says we will have victory over the desires of the flesh if we continue to make faith choices, contrary choices, to walk by the Spirit and to give those things over to the Lord. So you're going to, you're just like me, you're built just like me, all right? And it seems like the closer I get to Jesus, the more of me I see, the more yes it's in me, and I'm able to just give it over faster and faster. James 9, 14 through 15 says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away from making right choices. By his own lust, and then he's enticed, means he's captured by it, and then when that lust is conceived, you've made that choice to follow that thing, then it's going to bring forth sin. Okay, and then when that's finished, it's going to bring forth death, just because you quenched God's Spirit. At that point, you are separated from God. So you're tempted, okay, when you have these negative thoughts, but it's not sin until you choose to follow them. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's really, really important. Also remember, you cannot hold on to a negative thought or feeling and not eventually act out of it. See what I said? You cannot hold on to a negative thought or feeling, hurt, jealousy, anger, whatever. Hold on to that and not eventually act out of it. What you do is you program it in, and it goes down into those hidden chambers, and then that's what you act out of rather than God's love and God's life. Let me show you another example, a really beautiful example. A couple of years ago, I did another seminar, and this girl told me later, she said she absolutely hated this message. She sat through the whole, it was a weekend seminar, she sat through the whole message, just figured out. Started up maybe up here and then moved each session back. And again, she was stuck there because she'd come with some friends and she couldn't get down the hill. It was up here at Twin Peaks, and she couldn't get down back to the house because she was in a carpool. Just hated this message. Well, all week after the seminar, it bothered her so much. She couldn't get the message out of her mind. So she sat down with the steps, and she said, okay, Lord, let's see if this works. Why do I hate this message so much? And God answered her prayer, and listen to me very carefully. God answered her prayer and showed her why she was upset. He showed her that she had still tremendous anger and resentment and bitterness at her husband, who 20 years previously had upped and left her. Okay? And she was reacting to this message out of those hurts because she didn't ever want to think about that man again as long as she lived. Isn't that fascinating? It was those hurts inside of her saying, no way, I'm stuck down. I'm not going to think about him. I don't want to let those things go. Of course, the enemy said, you're right. The message is horrible. Don't listen to it. But you're right. When God showed her that, then she went again, next time, more willingly through the steps. Okay. And God showed her that she had just buried these things. She thought she'd gotten rid of them. But for 20 years, she just buried all of that junk down there and was carrying it around with her. And so God showed her that she could deal with it the proper way. She went through those steps that you have on your lap. She said she took her all day long to cry it out, to experience all those things. She says she experienced such a freedom that night like she's never experienced as a Christian. Her new husband came home and said, what's going on with you? You're beautiful. She's so radiant. I'll tell you, physically you will see the difference. Physically, you get rid of one thing and enlightened, and there's a physical countenance that comes over people that are free. Well, anyway, she sat down after that and wrote me a 16-page letter explaining all that went on and how she hated it and all of this stuff. And so I immediately wrote her back and said, that's wonderful. She wrote me right back and she said, you haven't heard the best part yet. It seems that 5 years ago, she'd had a massive heart attack during an operation. She's my age, so she was young to have a heart attack. She's young. and on the operating table, she'd had this massive heart attack. And ever since then, she's been on huge doses of medication for the heart condition and in constant pain. When she chose to give that 20-year hurt over to God, God healed her physically. She's in no more pain. She doesn't have to take any more heart medication. She's gone to the doctor and they've confirmed it is a miraculous healing. God doesn't always work that way, but so often the physical is so entwined with the psychological that when you carry something around like that and never get rid of it, it often does manifest itself physically. So in order to be really free and to be free of our past and to act out of God's love, we have to get rid of our negative feelings and thoughts the proper way. And that's by allowing God to expose them, looking squarely at them, look right at them, call them for what they are, and then choose immediately like a hot potato to get rid of them, give them over to Jesus. Okay, and be rid of them forever. Another critical thing that we talked about this, I think a couple of weeks ago, don't be preoccupied with self and get more introspective than God would want you with this message. It would be effort easy to walk around looking inside the whole time. Remember, the front windshield is the way that that's what you need to keep looking at is the front windshield. That's the direction as you're walking forward. It's the little rearview mirror. You just keep checking every once in a while. Do you want to bring anything up, God? Is there anything here? So you don't. So keep it in balance. You don't get overbalanced. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord is the one searching the hidden parts, not you. And remember, the Lord will bring up in His timing and in His way the things He wants you to deal with. Another girl came up not too long ago and said, that was after a weekend seminar, and she said, oh, Nancy, I'm so discouraged. She said, I've been praying all weekend and God hasn't shown me anything. And I said, hon, you thank Him and praise Him. I said, if you're willing, He will. Only remember it's His timing and His way. Okay? You can't search the hidden parts of your body or of your hidden chambers on your timing. It's His timing. And He knows the perfect way to do it. Okay, that's step number four. Let's go on to number five then, which is really a part of four. You need to choose to confess and repent of all the Holy Spirit has shown you at this point. It's Holy Spirit brought up a whole bunch of stuff. You need to choose to confess and repent of all the Holy Spirit shown you and choose to unconditionally forgive anyone who has wronged you. Unconditionally choose to forgive anyone who has wronged you. This is the labors of bronze that we talked about. Okay? Now, listen to me carefully. If you have just caught that negative thought and that negative emotion, and you've not entertained it, and you've not melded over, it's just come in, you can skip the confession and repentance. You're just going on to forgiving that person and giving it over to the Lord. You follow what I'm saying? If you've not melded over, and you've not entertained it, then there's no sin. You're not separated from God. You've recognized it in a conversation. Someone says something, ooh, that hurts. You get so keen in this way of walking, you recognize it immediately, and you'll be able to say, God, I'll choose to forgive them for saying that. They didn't mean what they said. You know, they didn't mean it the way it came across, or they didn't understand, or whatever. I choose to give it over to you. So that confession and repentance only comes if for quite a while you've entertained it, or you've mulled it over, or you've acted on it. Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay. But if you've held on to the negative thoughts and feelings and entertained them, you need to confess them to sin and repent of them. This is our responsibility. I can't emphasize enough how important this step is. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess, then He forgives. Okay, there's two parts to that. We need to confess, And he's the one that forgives. But we must confess it as a sin. What we're doing is we are acknowledging that we own those things. We're acknowledging that we own those things. We own our choices. For example, and please listen carefully to this, because I know that we women battle this all the time. If you're depressed, and I'm assuming, Jamie Corey, I'm assuming the depression is caused by psychological factors and not physiological factors. The physiological factors are more complicated, and you need to go to the Father and ask what he wants you to do there. If it's an emotional-induced depression, okay, and we've followed that way of thinking for some time, we've stayed down there, we can't just say to the Father, help me with my depression, and expect him to take it away. Right? A lot of us do that. Help me with my depression, do this, do this, do this. We must say, Father, I confess I am depressed. I confess I've chosen to follow these feelings over what you would want me to do. Okay, and it has separated me from you. Therefore, it's true. Okay, I choose to confess it, and I choose to turn around from following those feelings. So you just confess and repent, which just means choose to turn around from following. That's our responsibility, and I think in the Christian body, we've not looked at that. You know, we just said, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me. And this is the step we need to our responsibility. Part of this step is that we not only confess and repent of our own sins, but now we have to unconditionally forgive others of theirs. Remember, God is not free to work on either us or the other guilty party, right? Unless we release them. And you know the way we release them is by unconditionally forgiving them. Do you know we don't release God to work on us? Hold on, there's a scripture. I think it's, what is it, John? I don't have it written down here, but I have it in some of your other books. It's in John, and I can't remember what chapter. It talks about that where there's a supernatural bond or binding to the person by unforgiveness. Okay, we're bonded to them, we're bonded to us. And we choose to unconditionally forgive them, the binding or the bond is broken, and then God can go after them. It's like a little duck, and we go after them. And God goes after them. And I like that. Okay. Unconditionally forgiving them. Our example is Jesus. In Luke 23:34, as they were crucifying him, he said, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Unconditional forgiveness. So we can forgive others' trespasses in the person of Jesus Christ. Do you know there's a scripture that says that? 2 Corinthians 2:10 tells us that we unconditionally forgive others in the person of Jesus Christ. And often, there's no way you can muster up in unconditional forgiveness. It's only in Jesus that you can do this. Now, listen to me carefully, because I've had a couple of cute girls come up here and tell me, you don't go to the other person and tell them, I unconditionally forgive you for hurting me, for doing those things. Don't do that. You must do them. You go to Jesus, and you tell Jesus that you unconditionally forgive them. Okay? So don't misunderstand and go to the person involved, because it will just make it worse. Also, at this point, we need to unconditionally, that we not only need to unconditionally forgive others, we need to unconditionally forgive ourselves. And often, I can forgive myself, but man, I can't forgive myself for what I've done. To unconditional forgiveness for ourselves, we need to receive by faith God's total forgiveness for whatever sin we committed. Again, if you have trouble doing this, I would recommend, you know, a lot of people that seem to have a lot of trouble in this area, I would recommend going to the Bible, finding all the scriptures on forgiveness. But God says that an unconditional forgiveness. Write them out on 3x5 cards, and then carry those cards around on your body, in your purse, in your car, put them in your kitchen. Every time that guilt comes over you, that, you know, I'm really not forgiving, you rip that card out, and you say, I choose by faith to believe what you said. And pretty soon, God will align your feelings with your choices. at the moment we do that. Okay. Oh, and another thing on forgiveness, this is important. Sometimes God will have you go to the other person and ask for forgiveness for what you've done. Sometimes he will not. So don't you just categorically say, I'm going to go and ask for forgiveness, because sometimes you'll do it and another person is going, I didn't even know I hurt you. And it actually causes more of a rift than it would go to start with. That's only the mind of Christ individually. So you ask, and ask the Lord what he wants to do in that case. Let's go on to number 6 then. Now you choose to give to God, and this is at the Holy Cross altar, all that he has shown you that is not of faith. In other words, God is the one that's going to purge your sins by his blood now and take them as far as the east is from the west. Here's again a two-part step. You're the one that give over. God is the one that purges. You give over, you give to God, he then purges as far as the east is from the west. I think of these things as I give over to the Lord as love gifts with no strings attached. I'm not saying I give it to you, Lord, if you go after him and drop him. You know, if you do this in your life, I'm saying, God, I give you this as a love gift. There's no strings attached because I love you and because I want to stay clean so you can work through me. Again, Luke 11:39, which was 41 that we read last week, the Lord said unto him, now you say to me, look clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of wickedness. So rather give alms, give his love gifts, the things that are in those hidden things, and then behold, all things will be clean for you. So that's what you need to do. A good friend of mine, the way she handles it, it's a good idea to kind of have a little routine, a little ritual that you do with some of these things. She used to write them all down, the things that the Lord would show her that she's going to give to the Lord. She would literally put them in a little box, wrap them up with ribbons, and then put them in the bottom drawer of her dresser. Now, I like to burn them. I like to see them just go up into nothing. Then I know they're gone. The reason she kept them around is because the one Satan would come on her shoulder and say, you never got rid of that. She'd say, oh, here's my little box, and here's the boot, and here's what I gave you. It's gone. So you find your own way, what suits you, but have a way that you, I still write them out, everything that I give over to the Lord, so that I know I have that date down, so the enemy comes down, I can say it's gone. Now, most of the things that God will show us that we need to deal with, and listen carefully, is of the flesh, and will go away within a day or two. Most of the things that God will show us are of the flesh, and it will go away. In other words, you'll feel them gone within a day or two. But some of the things that will come up will be long-standing strongholds of the enemy. Okay? And these things become spiritual battles. Okay? And they're not so easy to get rid of. So don't you dare say, if you start giving a few things over that are long, that you have hanging around for 20 years, if they don't go right away, don't you dare say, see, this message doesn't work. Because that's exactly what the enemy would have you say, see, it doesn't work. Don't do it. Throw it out. Because it is, it does work. Okay? Recognize those things are spiritual battles. Okay? You will win because God is the victor. Luke 2:19 says we have authority over all the power of the enemy. We just need to recognize it's a battle. Once you recognize that, it puts it in its proper place. So pray consistently. Pray 2 Corinthians 10:2-6. Use your weapons of warfare, which we talked about, is the blood of Christ, the word of God, and the name of Jesus. Use those. Start wielding the weapons. Okay? James 4:7-10 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Remember that one? These 4 steps are how you resist the devil. Okay? And he will flee from you. Fast. Pray. Have others intercede for you. You need to add those. You've got to get spiritual battles. When you get on your knees and you get others praying for you and recognize you will win, it just might take some time. So it's important to discern which it is. The last step, number 7. Okay, we need to jump into the Word. We need to bathe in God's Word. Okay, and then God is the one who's going to cleanse us, sanctify us, and heal our souls. by the cleansing of the water of the Word. Indeed, God doesn't just osmosis it. Wouldn't it be nice if He would? But we're the ones that have to sit down and give Him the time so that we can be bathed and healed. Because it's such a critical step. All of this through, after we've confessed, after we've repented, after we've learned the thing, we choose to be able to do, all of this sure you get into the Word. Okay? Because you're still bloody. Because the stuff you've held on for years has been ripped out of you. You've given it over. And you need God's saving Word to go back in, to heal, and to put truth back in where those lies have been. God is the only one that can wash us with the water of the Word. And it's at this point that I literally picture myself being bathed in His love as I'm reading the Word. And you know, we've all been there. You read the Psalm, David was there. David's been through horrible things, and it's just like you pick up the phone, it'll be just exactly what you need. Now, it's important to try and memorize a couple of scriptures. You know, if you read the Word, if you're out in business and this happens, and you go through these little steps in business, you can't have your whole Word there and read 3 or 4 chapters. Just memorize a couple of scriptures, so that when you get through these steps, you always remember to put scripture back in where the lies have been taken out. Okay? I'm sure somebody came up and asked me, what scriptures do you have? Where do I find the scriptures? You might check your outlines that you have today as you're going through the scriptures and the references. Also, I've given you a prayer that we'll talk about in just a minute at the end of your outline. I've got scriptures under all of those. See which scriptures minister to you. And then write that scripture on a 3x5 card and have it with you until you memorize it. But pick out what the Spirit shows you is appropriate for your situation. Just to have 1 or 2 scriptures to put back in. But truth needs to be put back in so more lies don't return. These hidden chambers. One guy from one of my seminars came up afterwards and said, okay, Nancy, I hear these steps now. She said, I'm real simple. And I need a real simple example of how all these steps work together. Would you please give me a simple example? So, here's my simple example. And I hopefully you can relate. Say your mother-in-law is a good one. Your mother-in-law, who's not a Christian, comes over to dinner, okay? And you're sitting across from her, and you've really screwed around all day, and you've worked hard, and you've gotten this beautiful dinner prepared, and all the kids are there. All of a sudden, in front of everyone, she starts ridiculing and putting not only the food down, but your house cleaning down, the way the kids are dressed, the haircut of the kids. You know how mother-in-laws can be. She just starts in front of everybody, okay? First you get flustered, okay? Then you get hurt. Then you get humiliated. And then you just get plain angry, right? Choice point. Do you sit there and smile at her? She's not a Christian. Smile at her hypocritically the rest of the dinner, okay? And you'd really like to tell her off. You'd like to go over and talk to her. What would you do? If it was me, I would at that point excuse myself and go to the ladies' room. You know, that's a reasonable thing. I go into the ladies' room, okay? Wherever I can be with the Lord, I want to catch those hosts, and those are hosts in front of my chap. That would be, I had a wonderful mother-in-law, so this is not a personal story for me. This is just one I've made up here. But I'd want to catch those hosts before they're programmed in, before I start to opt out of them. And that happens pretty quickly. And up till now, I haven't entertained them. I haven't made them over, okay? If I continue to sit there, I'm going to start pushing them down, all right? And then eventually, I'm going to begin to act out of them. And I know it when I start acting, that hypocrisy comes, but I just want to puke it, you know? And that causes the breach. You're separated from God, and I'd want to catch them before. So the first step is I recognize what's happening. I recognize the negative stuff that's coming in. Next in the prayer closet, which would in my house would be the John, okay? I'd tell God, I'd get down on my face and I'd tell God, what she said really hurt me. I hate her for always doing that in front of everybody. I'd express my feeling. I'd say, you know, I mean, look at this picture. She's always done that. Ever since I married her son, she's never thought, what, well, keep it all out. How you really feel about this lady. Express your feelings. That's the first step. Then I would tell God, I don't want to be bound to her by unforgiveness. So I choose at this point, Lord, she is not a Christian and she needs you more than anybody needs you. I don't want to be bound to her. I want you to use me as an open channel. So I choose to unconditionally forgive her. I give those things to you. I choose to unconditionally forgive her. Now, there's no need for confession and repentance here because I haven't moved those things over yet. Now, if this is a long-standing thing and she's done this every time she's come over to your house and you've never dealt with those things before, then you obviously have held on to them. They've been programmed in, they're in that hidden chamber, and you need to go through the confession and the repentance. Do you follow what I'm saying? And this one instance, I have not programmed them in yet. Then number six, I choose to give over to her everything that God showed me. All the root causes, maybe God's gone back into the background and showed me, you know, from the way the very start, some of the things that I felt about her. I choose to give all those things to God. And then I would get into the Word and I would just recite some passages that I had memorized. You know, so his truth could go back in. Then I would go back to the table and say, expecting God to genuinely love my mother-in-law through me, even though I might not feel any different for a while. By faith, I have done the steps to renew my mind, therefore I know it's God's life coming forth. I don't feel it yet, but on faith, I go back to the table and I let God love my mother-in-law through me, and I'll tell you, it blows you away when it works. When you hear yourself in your mouth doing things and saying things that you can't believe 2 years ago, whatever's come out. You're kind of vessel. And you start living that way and experiencing those kinds of things, you want to stay there. It's incredible. By faith, and God will do it. Hebrews 10, verse 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." So here's one of the steps, the attitude, to when our bodies are given sacrifice, take every thought captive, and do whatever God asks you. That's your main attitude. And then the steps you need to take is recognize, acknowledge, and experience your feelings. God then will expose your root causes. Number 5, you confess and repent. He then forgives your sins. Number 6, you give to Him. He then purges you. And then the last one, you read the Word and He cleanses you. Now, I've heard for years, whenever I had a problem, people would say, just give it to God. Give it to God. Don't you always say that? I don't understand how you can give it to God. Until the last 5 years, when I found that inner court ritual and I started doing it, I'll tell you, it works. And I have ladies all over the country that are writing me and saying, it works! It works! Moment by moment, the ability to stay clean before the Lord. The new life, the big life that comes forth. Now, in the back of your book today, I've given you a prayer. It was my original daily prayer when I first started this way of walking about 4 or 5 years ago. And it's a prayer that just helps me go through these steps to renew my mind, get the mind of Christ to be transformed. Now, it's just a guide, and listen to me, it's long. It's very long. And so one of my friends wrote this. She took it and she rewrote it and this little piece of space, and she wrapped these so she could carry them in her purse, so she could carry them and have with her. She said, "Nancy, it's really wild to me." I said, "Fine, give it to a guide. Write your own." Because I find when I'm emotional, especially when you're just learning this way of walking, you're so emotional, right? You need a guideline to bring you to the feet of Jesus. This is a new way of thinking. This is a new way of acting. This is a new way of responding. And you need to be reprogrammed. So help yourself out. Write a short prayer like she did. And then, like I said, keep it everywhere. But my prayer does have scriptural references so that you can, you know, use those scriptures. So let's go to chart 26 and wrap this whole thing up. Okay, so it's at this point then that our mind, our thinking process has become totally renewed. whether we feel like it or not, and we put on the mind of Christ. God's Spirit, which is here, has come forth, and He's given us His wisdom. He's given us His understanding. He's given us His counsel and might. We are now experiencing intimate knowledge of Him, and we're walking in the fear of the Lord. Okay? This is the renewing and the preparation and the being ready and the equipping that the Bible is full of. Be prepared, be ready, be ready. Talk about reading Matthew over and over and over. Be ready. This is what we need to do daily in order to be transformed into His image. Our responsibility is to put off the old and to put on the new. See, God's life is already here in our hearts. Okay? We just have to be sure that we've made the right choices to allow it to come forth so it's permeating our lives. Now, every morning, I go through my inner court ritual, so I'm clean for what that day brings. Now, when we be sure and understand and make this very clear, you can't do this on these steps unless you have the Spirit of God in you. Unless you're born again and you ask Jesus into your life and you have the Spirit of God here in the Holy of Holies of your heart, there's no way you're going to get the mind of Christ. There's no way that these steps are going to work for you. So you can't do this with your human spirit. You must have God's Spirit in order to be able to remove your mind. You understand? Now, there's a lot of results of a renewed mind, and last week we covered a few of them on chart 27 that I think you had from last week. I'm not even sure if I included chart 27 with you. If you don't worry about it. But today, in your outline today, you will have a supplement called The Results of a Renewed Mind. Think of that. Be sure and go over those, because it's everything you've wanted. It's the peace, it's the joy, it's the intimacy with God, all the things that you're after comes as a result of a renewed mind. But there's one specific result of a renewed mind that I want to cover before we close. And I think it'll blow you away to see this. If our minds have been renewed, and if our lives have been transformed, then we have put on the full armor of God. When we speak to Him, verse 12 tells us that we are to cast off the works of darkness, and we are to put on the armor of light. Notice here that He's calling God's armor the armor of light in Romans 13, verse 12. Remember also in Luke 11:34, He told us that the light of the body is the eye, and if our eye is single, and we're single-minded, then our whole body is full of light. Scripture is telling us that the only way we can arm ourselves to battle each day is to put on the full armor of God. The only way we can do to put on the full armor of light. I want to read in closing Ephesians 6, 13-19, and you can look up at the screen if you would, and you might see God's armor of light in maybe a little different way than you've ever seen it before. Okay, let me read to you Ephesians 6, that we start at verse 13. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. In other words, the only way that we can stand is if we have the complete armor of light on. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Right here. Okay, and I believe this is the new spirit and the new power source that we receive when we're first born again. God's Spirit and God's Word, remember, they always work together, and together they are called truth. God's Spirit and God's Word always work together, and together they're called truth. Having the breastplate of righteousness, in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, He also adds the breastplate of faith and love. Okay, so here's the breastplate of righteousness, faith, and love. And I believe that's the new heart that we receive, that eternal life that we receive as a result of our new birth. Verse 15, have your feet, right here, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I believe our feet, we talked about this last time, that they're our soul. okay? And our soul is what constantly gets dirty. This area down here, it constantly gets dirty. And it's like, if God's supernatural willpower, this area right here, God's supernatural willpower, that is going to help us make choices to put off the old self, get rid of the old self, in other words, clean your feet, okay, and then shod and equip your feet by putting on a new self. It's God's supernatural willpower that's going to be able to help you put off and then put on Jesus. Verse 16, take in the shield of faith. And the shield of faith is this area right here, I believe. Wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Once you put off the old and put on Christ, then it's your constant faith choices that's going to shield you from Satan's attack. Do you know the shield that they literally had back in those days was a body shield? It wasn't just a chest shield. It was like carrying a door around with you. It protected your entire body. The same thing with your choices. You need the right faith choices, your whole body is going to be protected from Satan's attacks. Take the helmet of salvation, which is this area right down here. As we put God's helmet over our submitted thoughts, our raging emotions, and our controlled desires, we will be free from the power of sin. Remember the power of sin brought down here, and it was constantly attacking our conscious thoughts and emotions? Okay. Salvation simply means freedom from the power of sin. Okay, you've got your helmet of salvation on. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is down here. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We should always walk around with our two-edged sword, okay, in our body. It's holding that. That's our sword. And a scripture you might want to take down is Jeremiah 51:20, and it says, God and His Word is our battle axe. I like that one. I need that battle axe, so I'm walking around physically with my battle axe. And then lastly, out here in the mouth, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And so this to me is the renewing of our minds that we have to do daily in order to have our lives transformed, in order to be full of God's light, not having any dark part. Now, Jesus' life is the light of men. Jesus' life is the light of men. And that's what God wants shining and beaming through each of us. Remember Luke, don't leave me here. He said, don't hide my light under a bushel, but you put it on a lampstand so all can see. This is the lampstand here. Okay? Luke 12, verse 35 says, we're to have our loins girded about with truth, and it says, our light burning. Our light burning. These lights are the signs and the marks of the Spirit that I believe Jesus Christ will be looking for when He returns. Remember Matthew 25. If you're going to see your light, if you're going to know you intimately, okay, are you going to be prepared to go with Him when He calls? I beseech you, therefore, sisters and brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies daily as a living sacrifice, acceptable, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world. Bear it with me. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that then you can prove in your life actions out here what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you restored my voice. Thank you, Father. It got easier and easier, and I praise you for that, Father. I made those choices, and you are so faithful to perform, and I just worship you and adore you for that. Father, let us not be overwhelmed with all that we've learned over the last 8 weeks, Father. Let each of us begin this adventure by just being aware of our thoughts, being aware of our reactions. And then, Father, let the Holy Spirit begin to show us the things that you want us to deal with. You know, Father, where we are, and you know each of us intimately. Just bring these things up gently, gently, for each of us to see the things that we need to deal with, Father. We now know the steps to take to renew our minds and to get the mind of Christ. So, God, if we're willing, you say that that's all that's necessary, because you will be the one that's capable, and you will be the one to do these things to us. So, Father, I just pray that you would begin to transform our lives, make us lights in this world, so that others could see the real Jesus and be drawn to that light. And we'll just praise you and worship you and thank you ahead of time for the things that you're going to do. In Jesus' name.